Genesis chapter 22, I'll read the whole of the chapter. This is found on page 16 of the Bibles provided. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father! And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the enemy of his gates. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Now after these things, it was told to Abraham, Behold, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor. Uz, his firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jidlach, and Bethel. Bethel fathered Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. Moreover, his concubine, whose name was Ruma, bore Tibah, Gaham, Tahash, and Ma'akah. Let's pray. God, we pray As we look at this, your word, Lord, that you would open our eyes to the beauty and wonder of the things you have here for us. And Lord, would you show forth your glory? Lord, would you show forth Christ, that by faith we would better know the salvation we have in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, boy, he had to make a lot of sacrifices? Or just think of the sacrifice he was willing to make. Perhaps you've treated that as a simple phrase, just, you know, maybe he had to forego eating Big Macs for a whole year just so that he could win that athletic cup, you know, so something as simple as changing his diet although that's not easy sometimes. Perhaps some other kind of sacrifice that someone might make. In this passage, we come face to face with, indeed, a very costly sacrifice. God has required Abraham to sacrifice his own son. And indeed, as we look at this, we see Abraham, we see God, we see Isaac, and we see not just as ourselves, but we're looking over the shoulders of Israel as they saw their patriarch Abraham, as they saw their forefather Isaac. And indeed, the instruction for them and for us as we look at this passage is present yourselves as living sacrifices because God has provided. Present yourselves as living sacrifices because God has provided. And right off the bat, we've got to note that this is an immense request that God makes of Abraham. God said to him, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. God is testing Abraham with a particularly immense test. And even in the details which God gives, even in the very question that he's asking of or command that he's giving Abraham to do, detail after detail comes giving why this is difficult. Emotionally, this is trying for Abraham. This is an immense request. This is a huge test. We might want to say, well, God, how can you test someone like Abraham? Well, dear friends, we're reminded as we look at the rest of the Scriptures that God can test whom he wants to. We see that in Daniel 4:32. God is able to test Nebuchadnezzar. He can test the very high and exalted ones. In Job 9:12, Job says, behold, he snatches away. Who can turn him back? Who will say to him, what are you doing? God can test whomever he wants to. And indeed, as we're not the first readers of this, as Israel was looking at this test of their forefather Abraham, were they not reminded of the test that they had gone through? Or perhaps was this not a helpful for them as they were in the wilderness and God tested them with the manna? The manna was a test. Exodus 16:4 and Deuteronomy 8:2. God can test whomever he wants. And particularly, see how this is a test for Abraham. The very beginning, God said, leave your kindred. And so Abraham has separated from his father after his father died. Separated from his family. Separated from his nephew, Lot. In just last chapter. Separated from his own son, Ishmael. And his concubine, Hagar. God is now asking Abraham to separate from Isaac. But in a particularly final way, to offer him as a burnt offering. human sacrifice. We might say, well, how could God ask for a human sacrifice? Did Abraham hear him wrong? Well, no, the scripture is quite clear. Well, God could never. God did. God asked for this to happen. And before we say, how could God do that? We might ask the other question, how could God ask less? For God has always held a special ownership of firstborn sons. We see this especially in the subsequent revelation. We see Moses with his firstborn son Gershom, that he was chased down by the angel of the Lord. He was nearly avenged until Zipporah circumcised him and called Moses a bridegroom of blood. Or we see during the Passover that God himself went through all of Egypt and he killed every firstborn son. And even the firstborn sons of Israel, man or beast, they had to be consecrated to God. All the firstborn clean animals that first opened the womb were to be sacrificed. But all the firstborn sons and all the firstborn unclean animals were to be redeemed. If a donkey was not redeemed, its neck was to be broken. God had a special ownership of the firstborn. So God asked Abraham to take this firstborn son, the firstborn of his wife, sacrifice him. Isaac had to die. And yes, this was a test. We have the benefit of reading the first sentence. After these things, God tested Abraham. But Abraham is in the middle of this. Abraham doesn't know this is a test. Abraham knows the finality of death as well. Abraham's own father has died. Abraham's own brother has died. And to this point, as far as we know from the scripture from the record given to us, there have been no resurrections to this point. There's been no one raised from the dead. There's been no Elijah and Elisha. They haven't raised the widow's son. There's no Lazarus. There's no Jairus' daughter. There's no Dorcas. There's no Eutychus. There's no Jesus Christ at this point. When someone dies, they die. And that's what Abraham is being asked to do, to end his son's life. To offer him as a burnt offering. Now again, let's try to enter in. Let's try to hear this over the shoulders, as it were, of Israel. The sons of Abraham, the sons of Isaac, the people of God that hear this from Moses' mouth as he preaches it to them after he's written it, or as they've heard it from their forefathers. How would they hear this? Well, they'd hear that this is Isaac, your only son, the son whom you love. This is not Ishmael. This is not the one who was sent away. This is the one who they have to be born of. If Isaac dies, we die. That's how they hear this. Even though at the end of this chapter, Abraham learns that his brother Nahor has 12 children, Abraham has only one son who is the son of the promise. Only one son that he can call his own son. Ishmael has been sent away. Isaac is the son of the promise. God's made that very clear. In Genesis 17, verse 19, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. So imagine the people of Israel hearing this. They've heard that. They know we receive the covenant promise. We receive it not just straight from Abraham. We receive it because we are sons of Isaac. Isaac has to live. Isaac has to have offspring so this covenant can be extended to us. We have to live. One has to ask how Abraham was hearing this. Isaac was the son of the promise, by which the promises would be received. Yet God is commanding that he die. Is this an end to the promises? Is God testing Abraham to see if he loves God more than he loves God's promises? Perhaps that's what Abraham is wrestling with. Well, indeed it is. And yet what do we see? We see Abraham's unquestioning obedience. Abraham began without a question. It wasn't, okay, God, you want me to go sacrifice my son? That's what you said, but let me give it some prayer and then I can determine what the will of God is. No. When we hear the word of God, we know the will of God. God tells us what his will is. God's call on your life. No one, not even Abraham, has the luxury to say to God, are you testing me? No, the appropriate response for Abraham was to obey, and obey he did. It's the appropriate response for us too. When he heard God's word, he accepted it as God's will. And so should we. But it's worth asking the question. If God's call on your life meant the death of your child, would you have such resolve? So the scriptures show us Abraham's response. It's just a few verses for us, but it's striking the amount of detail that's given. This covers 3 days, but it's as if the writer is emphasizing for us everything that Abraham is doing at the beginning. And then again, he's giving all the details of what happens when he gets there. And so what are some of the things that Abraham does? Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men with him. He took his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering. He rose and went to the place which God had told him. He went right to it. He set himself to do what God had asked him to do. And then you have these 3 days. There's no details given here, but you've got to imagine in these 3 days, that's 3 days for Abraham to turn back. To wrestle in his mind, am I really going to go through with this? To make him steadfast in the resolve to, yes, I will do whatever God asks of me. 3 days was enough time to chicken out, but Abraham didn't. And so he arrives at the place. Although before he gets there, we have a clue to his faith. It's true, Abraham hasn't, there's not been a story of a resurrection happening to this point. But Abraham has a striking faith. What does he say to the young men? They get close to the land where they see the mountain from afar. Abraham's not going to take these two servants with him. He and Isaac are going to go on together alone. What does he say to those servants, though? He says, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Did you catch that? Abraham told these men, we're going to go and worship. We're going to come back to you. Dear friends, Abraham, though he didn't have the comfort that we have from the scriptures of example after example of God's power over death, Abraham believed that God was able to raise his own son from the grave. Indeed, the author of the Hebrews says, he, Abraham, considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, and so it was. We will come back to you, me and my son. And so it's Abraham and Isaac from there. The two of them. I think we see in this a bit of, there's not much detail given to us of Isaac's part in this, but there is some. Did Isaac suspect what was going on? Did Isaac know? Well, perhaps he did. He asked the important question, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Dear friends, Isaac has grown up in the worshiping community. Isaac knows that you do not worship God without a sacrifice. There is no approaching God without the shedding of blood. Where is the offering, Father? Furthermore, Isaac knows that an offering can't cost nothing. If an offering is a free one, perhaps Abraham, if Abraham's response, well, we're going to find a lamb and its head's going to be caught in the thorns and it's going to cost us nothing. That's a worthless offering. If that was the plan from the beginning. You can't just go and pick up something off the floor and give it to God. No, an offering, a sacrifice, it must be costly. Think of David. Think of David when the angel of the Lord was coming, after David was judged for making the census, and the angel of the Lord was coming, and David knew it, and David was going to make a sacrifice. He was going to do it on the floor of Ornan the Jebusite, and he offered to buy the field, and the guy said, well, you can just have it, and David knew, no, I can't just have this for free. A sacrifice has to cost something. I will buy this field. I will buy what I need from you because it must be costly because this is an offering for God. I think Isaac knew. I think Isaac had to know. And we might ask, well, how old was Isaac? Well, it doesn't really specify for us. But we do know that every year we give Isaac, it's a year past 100 for Abraham. Isaac is young, Abraham is old. Presumably weak. So if Isaac knows what's going to happen, Isaac could overpower his father. Isaac could get his way out of this. And yet Isaac used his strength to carry the wood. Verse 6, he carried the wood. I think he knew what was going to happen, and I think he carried his own wood for his own sacrifice. And twice the scriptures tell us that they went on, the both of them, together. I think that's more than just them walking next to each other. I think they went both knowing what would happen. Abraham knowing the cost of sacrificing his own son, and his own son knowing that he would be laying down his life at the end of this journey. They were in it together. And did not Israel learn from this? They're patriarchs. Isaac with his father. They were of one will. Our father Isaac, the one who, if he dies, we die, he's carrying the wood. Indeed, they saw themselves as Isaac. We are the ones laying down on the altar here. We are the ones being bound for sacrifice. We are the ones presenting ourselves. Laying down for the knife to strike. Indeed, as they heard this story, they heard the knife, or they saw in their minds the knife raised over their own body. And yet what happened? Isaac didn't die. Although in a striking way, we could say that Isaac did die. There's a substitution that's going on here. There's a life that's given for another. Isaac lived. The ram died. God provided in that way. We hear a similar thing when Adam did not die in the day that he ate of the fruit of the tree, but instead was clothed with the skin of an animal that died in his place. Isaac is from this day forth a living sacrifice. He was on the altar. He was dead. He did die in the Lamb, we might say. Isaac died in union with the Lamb. And indeed, all Israel with him saw themselves in that way. So what is this about? We've talked about the faithfulness of Abraham. We've talked about the faithfulness of Isaac, but it's not about that. It's about God. This is about God. God is the one who brought about this whole situation. God tested Abraham. God brought this out of them. In fact, God put it in them in the first place. God prevented Abraham from offering Isaac. God called out to him and said, "Abraham, Abraham." God provided the ram. God swore by himself, promising the promises of Abraham to his son. This story is about God. And indeed, the author of the Hebrews emphasizes that for us, that when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And so what is the repeated theme through this? What do we come back to again and again? Abraham was sure of it when he spoke to the servants. This is what had to happen. This is what the place of Moriah was named for. It's that God will provide. And indeed, he did. God provided the lamb so that Isaac would not die. And where did he provide it? Where was the place that God told Abraham to go to? Where was this place of which I will show you? Well, dear friends, as we look from the scriptures that come after this, there's the promise of there will be the land that I will, the place that I will show you, and there will you worship me. And we see that place we come back to again and again, because it's not just that Abraham worshipped here, Abraham sacrificed this lamb here, and that this place is forgotten. No, the scriptures tell us. 2 Chronicles 3, chapter 1, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. The temple. This is where the temple will be. This is where the place of sacrifice is. This is Jerusalem. This is the place that's named on the mountain of the Lord. It will be provided. And what is that? What is this all pointing forward to? This place you come back to again and again until one last sacrifice. This is the place. Here in Jerusalem, this is where our Lord was crucified. And as Israel would see that Isaac was saved because of the lamb in their place, and so we look and we see that we are saved because of the lamb in our place. Though the knife hangs over our body, we are dead, we are waiting to die. It is God who provides Jesus Christ in our place. And so we live because of Him. We live because God has provided. He provided in the place that He said He would. He provided there in Jerusalem, even as it was provided for Isaac. So what does this mean for you and I? Isaac couldn't look at himself in the same way after this. He's literally a living sacrifice. And so we should view ourselves too. We are united with the one who has died. We are united with the one who has risen from the dead. You and I are living sacrifices. Isaac from this day would recount that if God provided for me, and so every day that we live, we recount that God has provided for us in Jesus Christ. Every moment is a blessing. Every moment is a gift from Him through Jesus. And so we are to live. Even as Isaac lived, giving glory to God through the Lord Jesus. God has tested Abraham. God has tested Isaac. God tested His people Israel. And we can see the personal failures of them and everyone else except for Jesus Christ. For where God tests man and man and even Abraham, we can see how he stands up here. This is right after he's a total failure. The only one who has perfectly withstood every test that God put in his way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who passed the test. Just as Isaac gave a pattern for Israel to follow, presenting themselves as living sacrifices, so are we to do. So are we to see ourselves in Christ, see ourselves on the cross, and yet see ourselves as raised in Him. And even as Isaac needed to die, and he did, in a sense, in the Lamb, we too needed to die. We needed to die in the Lamb. And we have such a Lamb. We have the Lord Jesus. We have that one whom God has provided. And so God is glorified. God is to be praised. God is to be exalted by us who have lived through this on the other side of the cross. So present yourselves as living sacrifices. Because God has provided in Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, there's more that could be said. Indeed, who has plumbed the depths of Your Word? But Lord, You have given these things for us, Lord, that we might see that You are a gracious and merciful God to provide even for us who should have died. Lord, that You have raised us up in the Lord Jesus, even as You, according to the author of the Hebrews, You raised up Isaac from the dead. You gave faith to Abraham. Lord, strengthen our faith. And Lord, would You cause us to see our lives in the perspective of living sacrifices. Those who are dedicated to You, those who are offered to You, Lord, every thought that we have, every step that we take, that everything that You have given us, everything which we are, would be pleasing and Lord, would give glory to You. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.